school.
It's going to be stolen, I think, by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
Stolen by Bird and the cut to DJ. Yeah!
Buckle up for Kobe Bryant.
New era.
Oh! A jawbreaker!
Curry, way down top. Bang!
It's all basketball.
A spectacular move by Michael Jordan.
Lace them up. It's time for 1010XL's Open Gym. Leading the break, here's R.J. Saunders.
Ah! Game 7. One of the two greatest words in sports. The Orlando Magic will take on the Cleveland Cavaliers here in just a couple hours. And we'll discuss it all here on the basketball show for the basketball fan. It is the Open Gym. R.J. Saunders here with you. Casey Dobson also here with you. But most importantly, you are here with us. And wherever you're listening, however you're listening, let me start off by saying thank you. We really appreciate you for kicking it with us on this Sunday. Your way onto the show, the text line, 641-1010. And we got a question of the day for you. With it being Game 7 between the Magic and the Cavs, what's your favorite Game 7 in NBA history? And, I mean, there's a lot that you can go off of. I mean, you had the Celtics and Lakers in 84. With Tragic Johnson, or he didn't have the best game then. Had the Lakers-Celtics in 2010. L.A. and Portland in the Western Conference Finals in 2000. How about the shootout between Larry Bird and Dominique in 88? Of course, Spurs-Heat, if you want to look a little bit forward into this era. Spurs-Heat, Cavs-Warriors. Give us an idea, 641-1010, if you want to get in on that conversation. Also hit the YouTube chat line. But we are going to take a deep dive into both ball clubs here momentarily, the Orlando Magic and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Dante Marcatelli going to join us here in a few minutes. We'll also have Mike Snyder, who is the longtime radio voice for the Cleveland Cavaliers, dating back to the 1992-1993 season. He'll join us to talk about everything on the Cleveland Cavaliers side of things. However, let me preface my comments by saying this is not going to be Lakers talk in our opening segment. This is just a conversation about LeBron. After what he did following the loss, let me kind of paint the slide for you. We're going to get into a little bit of an exercise here. Following the loss in Game 5 to the Denver Nuggets, LeBron James goes to the podium and says this.
Tonight, was there any thought at all that, you know, this could have been your last game with the Lakers?
I'm not going to answer that.
LeBron, with the way you guys finished the regular season and competing with the defending champions, the way that you guys did, does that give you or still any further confidence in this group if it stays together? Obviously, that includes you, but just this group as a whole?
No, because we lost. I'm not a participation guy. We lost, and, you know, you move on and see how you can get better. But, you know, our season has been derailed all season with just, like, injuries and guys in and out and – you know, I talked about it all year. He was around us all year. I said, it's hard to say who we are, what we can be.
Oh, God. LeBron. It's not like he hasn't done this before with teams, right? He's always had to see what a team's going to do in the offseason. Wants player X to get an extension. We're too top-heavy. We need better role players. We need vets. We need youth. But this time around, it feels awkward. Here's why. Brian Windhorst, I believe he said this. He says, LeBron was able to go to teams to defeat a squad who had his number. However, here's a guy who's about to be age 40. I think he's going to be looking for an extension 2, maybe 3 years. And I think he wants it in the triple figures. Is there a team out there that is going to do it for him, not named LA? This is where we're going to start the exercise. Is there a team out there that's going to say for 2, maybe 3 years, we'll blow up everything that we've been building to try to win a championship with LeBron James? Me personally, I don't think there is, at the expense of bringing in LeBron James, blowing everything up, to say we have a 2-3 year window with this guy. Don't know. But even at the expense of drafting his son, which, yes, you're out there, and if you're listening, you've heard that the Lakers are probably one of a few teams, if not the only team, to possibly get Bronny to quote-unquote get and keep LeBron James. Now, as a free agent, I think there may be three or four teams that would be interested in LeBron. It's an exercise. I have no inside information to all this. Let's just do an exercise here. Here are my four teams in no particular order. I have the Dallas Mavericks, the Golden State Warriors, the Philadelphia 76ers, and the New York Knicks. Here's why. Let's start with Dallas. They have one of the better duos in all of basketball. Luka Doncic sure has signed that extension. Kyrie Irving is playing phenomenally in Dallas. They have some good pieces around them. However, if that's a team that doesn't start to win, and let's say Kyrie decides to leave and go somewhere else, or Luka Doncic is now on the fence about whether or not he needs to stay in Dallas or explore some other greener pastures. Is LeBron James a guy that you say you could bring in for 2 years and at least have one bite at the apple in terms of going to the NBA Finals? Not win, but go. You still have to beat Denver, but I think for Dallas, they would probably say that's their best shot if they were to add a LeBron James. And you also have an owner, or should I say a guy in Mark Cuban, who's kind of like Shad Khan. He'll throw money up, he'll throw money out. And granted, he's tried doing that in the past and it hasn't worked. You've heard stories where he thought he had Kobe. Shaq was wanting for Mark Cuban to bring him to Dallas. So even with the money that he's thrown out there to some guys, they've elected to go other places. It could be different with LeBron James. Why? Because businessman to businessman, I think Cuban could speak LeBron's language. I understand he's in L.A., but do you remember that selling point also in L.A. with Magic Johnson? Well, LeBron wants to, you know, get into business after his career's over. What better player, what better blueprint could you have than a guy who was a former player who's now an elite businessman in Magic Johnson? And that was one of the big reasons why they had brought Magic to the front office. You can be in the state of Texas, no state income tax. Mark Cuban, you can learn some things from him. Hey, maybe he brings you on to Shark Tank. Maybe, right? But basketball-wise, remember this? LeBron thought Kyrie was coming to L.A. Kyrie comes to crypto last year. I hate saying crypto, it's Staples. But he came to crypto last year thinking that he was sending a message to the front office that, hey, I want to be here. What if Kyrie calls LeBron on the phone and says, hey, I know it didn't work for us getting me to L.A. Why don't you come over to Dallas? Me, you, Luka. Here's my argument for the Knicks. The Knicks, whether or not fans like it, I think they're going to try to pair somebody up with Jalen Brunson. You're hearing names like Donovan Mitchell. Devin Booker, according to Stephen A. Smith, wants to be a Knick. Remember, New York was one of these potential destinations for LeBron in 2010 when he did that whole decision. Kevin Durant on his podcast admits that New York was one of the places and that many believed he was going to go to. Then when he became a free agent and left Golden State, there were few that thought he and Kyrie were going to go to the Knicks. What is it about the Knicks? What is it about them? They haven't gone to the NBA Finals since 99 in a lockout shortened season. Things are turning around in the Big Apple. So besides the obvious, New York, the biggest media market in all the country, this may be a place where stars want to go. New York Knicks are up, and they want the smoke. Look at the roster. You'll have three or four shooters. You have Dante DiVincenzo, Jalen Brunson. You have Josh Hart there, a 3-and-D wing in OG Anunoby, who's probably going to get the big bucks from the Knicks. Big men who will do what God created them to do, rebound, block shots, and rim run. Now, the thing that would make me say, I don't think LeBron would consider going to the Knicks is Tom Thibodeau. He'll run him into the ground. As you can see, what he does with his three stars in the first place, he does not believe in sitting them longer than maybe 7-10 minutes. Is LeBron okay with that? I think the NBA would be, though. The league would be on fire. LeBron James on the Knicks? Even at 40? With the season he had last year? I mentioned Golden State. I think he gives them a call. I think he calls Steph. It'll be the 06 Miami Heat with Shaq and D-Wade, and everybody else was Guardians of the Galaxy. They were kind of over the hill. This is our last shot at it. This is for all of us, for those of us who haven't won a ring. Gary Payton, Lonzo Mourning. So with Golden State, maybe it's the same thing. We're a couple years removed from a championship. I got my good buddy Chris Paul here. I could teach Jonathan Kuminga, who's going to be the next wave of forwards. I have Steph, who it seems like he wants to team up with. Klay maybe takes a team-friendly deal. Me and Draymond, great buddies. And I think Steve Kerr is a person that he respects. Last team, Philly. You keep hearing these reports. They're keeping an eye on the entire situation of, like, Paul George and Jimmy Butler. How about that? I mean, you're trying to right some wrongs, bring Jimmy Butler back. I don't know if he would ever want to come back to Philly on his own accord. Tobias Harris over me, I don't think he's forgotten. But you have an MVP-level player in Embiid and a high-level guard in Tyrese Maxey. All those four teams that I have mentioned have elite guards. LeBron James, when he's won his championships, with the exception of the bubble, he had elite guard play. Miami's Dwayne Wade, Kyrie Irving in Cleveland. The big man was always the third star. It hasn't worked entirely, as I believe those who are Lakers fans or just fans of LeBron worked out in La La Land. But if he's looking to chase a fifth ring, I think those are four teams he may consider. If this is about just getting Bronny and wanting to play with Bronny, then he'll go to whatever team. And for me, I think San Antonio would take that shot as a chess move. Get Bronny James, you get LeBron James, have Victor Wembanyama. Take our chances for a couple years. Maybe. But I hate this with LeBron. For a guy who calls himself a GOAT, this is how you conduct yourself. But he's the GOAT to some. I respect that. I just don't like that he does it this way. But isn't the NBA offseason great? Oh, and it's only May. It's only May. You know what also is great? This magic moment. Let's get into that quickly.
This magic moment.
This magic moment is brought to you by MyBookie. Experience the Vegas thrill from the comfort of your phone anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
When it comes to the NBA championship odds, I still like the Celtics. They are waiting. They're continuing to wait. And the more they wait, I think the healthier they get. They're plus 110 to win the NBA championship. Give me the Boston Celtics. And give me the over in this first quarter at 49.5 between the Magic and the Cavs. It's minus 110 right now on MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. It should be an incredible matchup between those two teams. We'll have the game for you here, pregame, in-game, and postgame here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. I believe that's going to be on the FM side. Jake Chapman will be on the call. Dante Marcatelli joins us next. He's going to talk about things from the Orlando Magic side of it all. Let's get an idea of how they feel. They got to win one on the road in order to move on to the next round to face the Boston Celtics. How confident are they? Dante Marcatelli will let us know next here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Vancaro, a screen from Suggs. Morris defending. Here's Wagner from the corner. Cross, Wagner, 7 points for the Magic.
That's what we need.
Suggs lets it fly. He's fouled on the shot. It is good. Jalen Suggs with his fourth three of the game. Anthony, beautiful spin to the basket. High off the glass and in. Oh, spectacular.
Goodness. Cole Anthony.
Magic 3-point lead in the ball. Vancaro exploring, spinning, and there's a foul. Count the basket for playoff P.
Being on the road, game seven, lay it all out there, lay it on the line. One opportunity. And I think these guys will all embrace that, knowing what they're capable of doing. It's not going to be easy, nor do we want it to be easy. And that's what this group has always embraced all year long. The harder it is, the better we will be.
Back to the action on Open Gym on 1010XL.
It is game seven between the Orlando Magic and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Oh my goodness, Paolo Banchero, Jalen Suggs, and Franz Wagner. Amazing. In game six, and to get more on this game seven matchup between the two teams, we're going to be joined by Dante Marcatelli. He's the host and sideline reporter for Bally Sports Florida, also a host of Magic Drive Time on 96.9 The Game, and he joins us from Cleveland. Dante, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. It's an exciting time here in Florida, and especially in Central Florida, when you have the Orlando Magic. It looks kind of scary there in game six, and they move on to bring this to a game seven. But before we get to game seven, just tell me about the atmosphere there and just how they were able to close it out in game six to get to this point. Just what did you see in that fourth and final period? I mean, Donovan Mitchell's going absolutely bananas, but Paolo Banchero, Jamal Mosley, and that group were able to, you know, keep a level head and take this team to the promised land to get them to the seventh game.
Well, it's interesting, and I apologize for the delay, but we actually decided last minute to come to Cleveland. So we don't have the broadcast tonight. Normally I work part of the telecast with Bally Sports Florida, but it's on ABC, so it's exclusive. So we had our last broadcast of the season for that game six, and we just decided, you know what, let's go up there. So I'm just walking into the arena now, so we're in the tunnel. So I apologize for that, but that game six was incredible. It was absolutely incredible because midway through the third quarter, you're looking at it and you're seeing the dominance that Donovan Mitchell is displaying, and he ended up having a 50-point game, one of the best playoff performances I personally have ever witnessed, if not the best.
Right.
It was just incredible. So there was some frustration there. You can't stop him. You can't get anything going offensively. Now down by nine here in the second half, and never let it get to sing at the double digits, which I thought was huge, but there was some frustration, and then it turned. That crowd in Orlando, absolutely electric, and got this team back on track, and they kind of helped them, propelled them to a couple of turnovers,
absolutely,
and then knocked down a big three. I think one of the biggest shots of the game was Jalen Suggs hitting a three.
Yes.
And then you got Cole Anthony going. That spin move from Cole Anthony and the finish at the rim was just absolutely right. I mean, was that incredible?
Ooh.
I mean, that made it everywhere.
My goodness.
That highlight was incredible. So now, bam, just like that, you've got the crowd completely re-engaged. And, you know, they were into it from start to finish, but now you had a little extra life, and they had some extra juice. And they were going crazy. So that propelled them. So I think just a couple of big plays at the right time, and the crowd was reengaged, and you were able to get, you know, you never got a ton of stops on Mitchell, but you got key ones. You forced
yes.
a turnover there late in the fourth quarter, so you made the plays that you had to make down the stretch.
Got to talk about Paolo Banchero here. I mean, goes for 30-plus in Game 5. You have a must-win in Game 6. He gives you 27. But, Dante, 10 of those 27 points coming in the fourth and final quarter. My goodness, this kid continues to grow right in front of our very eyes, isn't he?
Well, and it's funny you say that because I'm looking at him right now, and he's on the floor right now warming up. And there is a quiet confidence about that young man right now. I mean, he's come. Everyone's been, I don't want to say been tight, but there's been some concern and not really knowing what to expect in games 1, 2, and certainly in game 5 when we came back. So there was a feeling when we left in game 5 that if there is a game 7, we're going to get it. That was kind of the feeling that they had walking here onto the floor. And he's been the reason why. He had that dominant performance, went for 39 points in game 5, right? It nearly helped the Magic pull that out. He was so good down the stretch. And when you need big baskets late and they key in and they take away all your other options and somebody's just got to go to work and make a basket like all the greats before him, that's what he's been able to do. Paolo did that in game 6 in Orlando. Big baskets when they needed them down the stretch. He's perfected that turnaround jumper. It's almost unguardable at times. And he gets if you switch, he gets a smaller guy on him and he just shoots over him. And if it's Mobley or if Allen is able to go tonight, it'll be a bigger guy at times, and he's able to take him off the dribble and get to the basket. So he's figured out, how to make it work, and it's so impressive.
Dante Marcatelli, our guest, he's the host and sideline reporter for Bally Sports Florida, also the host Magic Drive Time on 96.9 The Game. We talk about Paolo Banchero and him growing right in front of our very eyes. You know who else is growing? Coach Jamal Mosley. I mean, he was second in voting for Coach of the Year. This is his first playoff experience as a head coach. And he feels like he has this team playing with a level head, even when they're down. I mean, what have been your thoughts on Coach this postseason and what he's been able to do for this group?
Well, I love that you brought that up because, we think about the players and we look at and say, you're right, this is new for these guys. No matter what, it's a great experience for these guys to be here and to be a part of this. But that's the guy that's never been through it before either as a head coach. He's been through many playoff games as an assistant coach and, very good teams with Dallas and Denver and Cleveland along the way. But he's never been the guy calling the shots and making the decision. So there's been a learning adjustment, and he learned it on the fly for him. But he is so calm. He is so level-headed. And he has the right thing to say to everybody at the right time, which to me is the most impressive. I don't know how many times, Magic getting a little rattled. And it even happened in game 6 in that third quarter, starting to get away a little bit. And he just sits them all down, and he says, hey, guys, singles. You're trying to hit the home run. You're not going to score 9 points in one basket. Like singles, chip away. And that's his message. Don't get bored with the simple. You don't have to have, every play doesn't have to be a home run play. You run the offense, you get the best shot. If you make it, great. If not, you move on and you go get the ball back. Like, let's not press, let's not worry, let's not stress about all of these.
Right.
Let's just play the game as simple as possible. And the way he has simplified things and calmed everybody down and said the right word at the right time is remarkable for a guy that's never been here as a head coach. It's absolutely blown away and very impressive.
I think the trio of Paolo, Franz, and Suggs, I think they're going to be spectacular, like you said at the top. I think going into game 1, I think it finally got out of their system that this is postseason basketball. You've seen them mature game by game by game, and I have no worries about those three. But is there a guy that you believe needs to have a big game for Orlando outside of that big three in order for them to get a win on the road today?
I don't know that he has to, but it would be nice, and I think you can win going away if Cole Anthony has a big game.
Okay,
I'm looking at Cole, and he's made one field goal here in 3 games in Cleveland, and they need to find a way to get Cole Anthony going. And you saw what a difference maker he is at home, feeds off the crowd, his big shots. If he can come in and knock down his first three or get fouled right away and hit a few free throws, whatever it is to calm him down, to me, that is the guy that can change the entire course of this game. Because, it's always been a battle of the benches. The Magic have one of the best benches in the NBA. But the biggest struggle the Magic have had in Cleveland has been scoring.
Yes.
Right? You have, 83 points in the first game, 86 in the second game. You didn't get over 100 in game 5 either.
Right.
So if you can find some offense from anybody, to me, that's been the only thing missing in this building. You're playing unbelievable defense. They've only gotten over 100 points once in the series. The Cleveland Cavaliers, and that was game 5 when they beat you just barely here, 104 to 103. So I think if you can get offense from someone, doesn't have to be Cole, but to me, if Cole's cooking, RJ, if Cole is cooking today, then I think the Magic win big.
if he gives us one more spectacular highlight like he did in game six.
Yes.
I certainly love our chances. Dante Marcatelli, the host and sideline reporter for Bally Sports Florida, joining us on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. We're talking about the Orlando Magic. I just want to get your opinion on the Cleveland Cavaliers. What have been your thoughts of them this series? I mean, Garland has been sensational at moments. Donovan Mitchell gives them a 50-point game in game six. Evan Mobley has played very, very well for Cleveland so far in this series. Kind of on the other side of things, what have been your thoughts of the Cavs in this series?
Well, I think all we heard coming in was that there's so much pressure on the Cavs to win, because they want to keep Donovan Mitchell happy. They want to, you know, it's all about he has a decision to opt out, or can he stay, or does he want to sign a long-term extension? And they make it seem like all that pressure is on what happens in this series. I don't know that that's the case. I think he likes it here just fine, and I think he'll be here long-term, and certainly hope that's the case, because it's a lot of fun to watch with him here. But you could feel all that pressure coming into it. And listen, Evan Mobley, Jared Allen. Jared Allen's a guy that struggled mightily in the last postseason. So he was a guy, he actually came out and said the lights were a little too bright for me. So he's been the complete opposite. He's been an absolute machine on the glass, had a 20-rebound game. So I think that's a huge piece. And really the only thing that's kind of hurt them, their starters have been great. Max Strus had a game where he stepped up.
No.
Marcus Morris, they dusted off the bench, and he had a big game in game five. Where they've struggled is consistent bench scoring. And they haven't gotten a ton from George Niang. That's kind of surprised them. They haven't gotten a ton from Isaac Okoro. Their problem last postseason was they couldn't score, so they added shooters, and those shooters haven't shot it well here in the postseason. So we know that they're all capable of having big games. That offense, you hope it all doesn't come together tonight, but you certainly understand that it could. So that's, you know, you got to limit the other guys. If Mitchell and Garland are going to come out and have big games, okay, you can live with it, but you got to make sure no one else goes off. And that's what they've done, really, to this point. That's what they've done a good job of limiting here so far.
Absolutely, and we spoke to Jeff Turner last week, and Jeff was talking about how every team has won their games at home, but Orlando, in order for them to move on to the next round, they're going to have to try to take one on the road. Here now is their opportunity. For you, what does Orlando need to do to take this one on the road?
Well, I think they got to hit first. They have not started well yet in six games. In this building in game five was the only game in the series that they scored first. The only time on the road, in three games on the road, that they scored first. They did score one time in Orlando as well.
Right.
But it's just been twice in the six games, so you've not started well. You've had to dig out of a double-digit lead every single game in this series, except for the last game here. And I think that's huge. If you can come out and have a good start, score first. If you can play with the lead on the road much of the game, then I think that gives you a different confidence as opposed to, hey, we're down. We've got to find a way to come back. And it's really just been the first quarter deficits that you've had to dig out of that hurt you. So if you can figure that out, if you can find a way to remedy that, then I think it's a different story. You have to limit their second chance opportunities. Whoever has got the most offensive rebounds in this series has won the game. So you got to keep them off the glass. That has been huge. You've done a terrific job limiting their three-point shooting. We have to go back to scoring in the paint. I don't like when we rely on our three-point shot. We have to make sure we continue to attack the basket, whether Allen's there or not. You still have to be aggressive in attacking the basket. But I think a start is critical, protecting the basketball, attacking the basket, and keeping them off the glass. To me, those are the biggest keys to getting a win today.
You know what? Win or lose tonight, and I'm projecting a win here. I mean, do you think the Magic have gotten the attention of the league now? I mean, this was a team that was playing with house money coming into this postseason. Nobody thought they'd get to this point, but to be playing like this – with quote-unquote house money, I can only imagine what this offseason is going to bring. You'll continue to see the growth from Paolo, Franz, and Jalen next year. Has this Orlando Magic team, in your opinion, gained the attention from the rest of the league, that we're here and we're the team of the future?
I think they have, but not as much as we would hope or think yet. I think they're still flying under the radar. I don't think you watch all the national shows and it's, you know, you're still talking Lakers and you're still talking Dallas and you're still talking all these other teams, but you're not – sadly, the national narrative would be, well, the Cavs lost as opposed to the Magic won.
Right.
And that, you know, I think that's unfair. But the national media tends to be about a year behind, right?
Yeah.
So, okay, now the Magic burst onto the scene. They start to make some noise. And then next year is probably when they're going to come in with a lot more expectations and a lot more noise nationally. So that's fine. That's kind of how the cycle works here in the NBA and really in sports in general. So the good thing is, RJ, they don't care about that. They don't want national attention. They don't. They want to win. This is what they do. They come down, they play games, and they want to win. And they want to eventually get an NBA championship.
Yes.
And they want to go as far this year as they can go. All of these guys love playing basketball. Very few of them have families. Very few of them have other things that kind of demand their attention. They are gym rats. They live in the gym. This is all they've done their whole life, and they're not ready for it to be done. They want to continue to keep playing. And I think that's what makes it so much fun. When the national media does come around, they're going to realize this is a team that genuinely gets along. They love each other. They play harder than any team in the NBA. They're fun to watch, and I can get behind that. And I think, you know, eventually they'll add a piece. You can look at it. They need to add some scoring. They need to add a knockdown shooter and all that. But right now, as presently constructed, this is a very, very fun team to root for. And if they can win today and be one of the final eight teams remaining, then they'll start getting a lot of national attention as well.
I don't think the clock strikes 12 in a couple of hours. The Orlando Magic will take on the Cleveland Cavaliers in Game 7 of this Eastern Conference first round series here. We'll have the game for you on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. That's Dante Marcatelli. He is the host and sideline reporter for Bally Sports Florida and host of Magic Drive Time on 96.9 The Game. Dante, thank you so much. Root on the Orlando Magic for us there in Cleveland, and hopefully we're talking to you again when we're facing Boston in the second round.
Oh, you got it, man. Let's guarantee that. Let's lock that in, because that means we'll get a win here today. I hope to come back with a W for you.
Absolutely. Thanks, yes, sir. Dante Marcatelli. Absolutely love Dante and everything that he does here with the station. When we come back, we'll go to the other locker room. We'll talk to Mike Snyder of the Cleveland Cavaliers. He's a longtime radio voice on their network. Give us an idea of what the Cavs are thinking and what they need to do to win a crucial Game 7 to keep their season alive. This is Open Gym on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Take your shot. It's Open Gym on 1010XL.
Back here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM, it is the Open Gym on the eve of Game 7 between the Orlando Magic and the Cleveland Cavaliers. The winner of this matchup will go on to face the Boston Celtics in Round 2 of the Eastern Conference Playoffs. RJ Saunders here with you. So glad that you are here with us. Let's get an idea of what's going on the Cleveland Cavaliers side of things. And for that, we'll go to Mike Snyder, the longtime member of the Cleveland Cavalier Radio Network broadcast team. He serves as the in-studio pregame and postgame host for the Cavs, and he has been so gracious to give us a couple moments of his time. Mr. Snyder, thank you so much for coming on. How are you?
I am well, RJ. Good to be with you today. I guess Game 7, yeah, it's a great two words in sports. From the Cavs perspective after last night, I don't know if it's the greatest thing I want to say today, but yeah, we are excited about tomorrow for sure.
It's certainly been a remarkable and, dare I say, classic first-round playoff series between the Orlando Magic and the Cleveland Cavaliers. But before we get to this Game 7 matchup here, I really want to pick your brain on the Cleveland Cavaliers as a whole. You know, they finish out the year last season losing to the New York Knicks, but going into this year, they've really grown, matured, learned from their mistakes. They finish as the 4 seed. They're now 1 win away from facing the Boston Celtics in Round 2 of the Eastern Conference playoffs. Just what were your thoughts on the Cleveland Cavaliers going into this season?
Well, I think, RJ, going into the year, they made a few moves after the playoff series you allude to with the Knicks. I think that has really been the cloud over the franchise really since that exit last year. They went out to try to address those needs, and they added Max Strus. They added George Niang.
Yes.
And I think they feel with the experience for that they were, you know, really ready to really take that next step this year. And maybe they are. You know, they're still alive as we speak today. The thing that's happened, though, there have been so many injuries along the way. They played a good portion of the season. Evan Mobley had knee surgery. Darius Garland, a fractured jaw. Since the All-Star break, Donovan Mitchell has been dealing with a cranky knee. And you could see it last night. I mean, that was one of the great performances. You know, you've asked me about all-time memories I've had. That's one of the guttiest performances
Absolutely.
That I've ever seen, and that was last night. And I just think it's really been kind of a storyline there. There have been so many ins and outs and missing guys. And now in these last couple of games, no Jared Allen, who really was kind of a stabilizing force after he missed the first five games of the year.
Yes.
So that's certainly, you know, no one wants to hear excuses in pro sports,
right.
But that's been a factor. But here they are. We've got question marks going into game seven, whether maybe he'll be able to give it a go. I would like to think that Jarrett would be able to play a little bit tomorrow. But I think that certainly has been a factor in this season. I think they really thought they could make a run to be in the top two or three. They end up being number four. And all of that's been a factor. The other thing, you know, when you have guys in and out, they've not played together with the group that they envisioned going in as much as they would like. I'm not making excuses. That's a reality for it. But here they are today. I mean, they're still playing and are at home in a game seven and a chance to go on and then face probably the team that's been the best team all year in Boston.
When you talk about Donovan Mitchell, I mean, my goodness, he had quite the performance in game six, throwing everything plus the kitchen sink at the Orlando Magic, finishing with a 50-point masterpiece. However, you did speak on it. That knee certainly did seem to be giving him some trouble in game six. From your perspective, being a fan and a person who covers the team, what were your thoughts on that performance? And do you think he can give one more Herculean effort here in game seven to close it out?
Well, I hope so. I think the Cavs do. I do think this, though. You just cannot win a – you can win occasionally. I saw it before, RJ. I sat courtside when the Cavs beat the Pistons in 2007.
Oh, man.
This was LeBron's first run with the Cavaliers.
Yeah.
And they knocked off Detroit, the mighty Pistons at the time,
yeah.
You know, with Rasheed Wallace and Rip Hamilton and Chauncey Billups. And LeBron scored 29 of the last 30. I think he had 46. That was a game five in Detroit, and that put the Cavs in front, and this was the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
It put the Cavs up 3-2, and then they went home. And that really was the game that knocked the Pistons. That group, that end of that era of the Pistons, Ben Wallace and that group, a great run they had, but that knocked them out. The Cavs weren't really ready for the Spurs in the finals, but I saw something like that where LeBron basically, from the fourth quarter into overtimes, there were two of them, I think. That was two overtimes.
Yes.
Where it was him. What happened last night reminded me of that, with Donovan just basically taking on the Magic pretty seemingly by himself. But that just, you can't really win games against playoff caliber teams like that. And I think that's what happened in the fourth quarter. The Magic outscored the Cavs 30-18, and all ET by Donovan. It's just not a recipe to win a game. I just think that the Cavs are going to need more from others at home for a chance to advance tomorrow afternoon.
The legendary Mike Snyder is our guest. He's been a longtime member of the Cavs Radio Network broadcast team. He serves as the in-studio pregame and postgame host. All right, so staying on Donovan Mitchell just a little bit longer, if I may. You know, there's been rumblings around the NBA that Donovan Mitchell may look to explore his options this offseason, especially if things go south for the Cleveland Cavaliers and they lose once again in the first round for a second straight season. I'll ask you here, Mr. Snyder, do you think Donovan Mitchell is a member of the Cavs next year?
Well, that's a burning question, especially it's a hot question this morning, RJ. As after you see a game like that where he plays like he did, what is he thinking? I think right now, from what he said afterwards, he's thinking game seven. And I think he's been very happy here. And I think the Cavs have a talented roster. But I think right now there are a lot of question marks for a lot of reasons for this team going into the game tomorrow. It's funny how one game really will set the tone, or could set the tone for this franchise, you know, going into the offseason. What moves will be made by the organization? What will Donovan decide he wants to do? There is so much riding on this game tomorrow. The pressure really is on the Cavs for tomorrow. I've gotten the vibe that Donovan likes it in Cleveland. I know there was always those rumors in New York. I think the Knicks, though, right now, I don't see where he's a fit for them right now with what they've got going.
Right.
So I don't really know, you know, Donovan's been very, I think he's been upfront from a standpoint of saying, hey, next year will be the time I'll need to decide. So, you know, I think until he signs something, I think we're all kind of guessing what he really wants to do. And that will be the telltale when it comes time where he can sign that extension later this summer, and whether he does or doesn't, we're going to know then exactly what he's thinking. Till then, I think really it is all speculation. And maybe even in his mind, as of today, he's not aware right. of exactly what he wants to do. And a lot may hinge on the game tomorrow.
Without question. And before we move on here, sir, I just want to get your thoughts on this young Orlando Magic ball club that's facing the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's been an organization that's growing right in front of our very eyes, a team that probably most thought would get to the playoffs via the play-in, but they shocked the entire world, and now they're the 5 seed. They're 1 game away from going to the second round of the NBA playoffs themselves, and they're really playing with house money, if I can add to that, because I don't know how many individuals within the national landscape really gave this team a shot against the Cleveland Cavaliers in the first round, and now here you are taking them to a decisive 7th game. What have been your thoughts on this young Orlando Magic ball club?
Well, I think you're very accurate in what you're seeing, RJ. I that's what I see, a team that is growing. For them tomorrow, they're playing with house money. The pressure is on the Cavaliers. Now, the Cavs have a lot going for them, experience-wise with their players, the home floor, all these things. But what an experience for the Magic. And I mean, the talent is there. I think anybody can really see that. For them, ultimately, going forward, they've got some pieces to add, but I think they're just in a great spot. Banchero is an emerging star.
Yes.
They've got some tough-minded players around him. And Jamal Mosley, you know, Jamal was an assistant coach in Cleveland a number of years ago, and he was a sharp guy then. You could see he was very young in his coaching career at the time. This was right after LeBron left the first time that he was with this organization. And then I know he was out in Denver. I mean, he's a sharp guy. He's done a great job. They're a team on the rise, and they're playing with a chance, you know, to go to the next round tomorrow. So it's real. The talent, Jalen Suggs, you know, tough guy. Yeah, you know, one of the things I think that Orlando has, and my partner on postgame shows, Brad Sellers, who played with the Bulls, of course,
yes.
Years ago. You know what he noted with Orlando is that you've got players that really wear some great college programs. You know,
yes.
Suggs at Gonzaga, the Wagners at Michigan, Banchero at Duke. And I think that there's still something to be said for that college experience helping players develop in the NBA. And I think they've got a great nucleus. I hope the Cavs can sideline them for, you know, tomorrow.
Right.
But I think the future certainly is really strong for the Orlando Magic, for sure.
Mike Snyder is our guest. He's been a longtime member of the Cleveland Cavaliers radio network broadcast team dating all the way back to the 1992-1993 season. He serves as their in-studio pregame and postgame host. Okay, every team in this series has won their home games in this matchup. Now you're back in Cleveland for Game 7. I'm going to put the whiteboard in front of you. I'm going to give you the clipboard here. In your opinion, what are the keys to victory for the Cavs to close this thing out against the Magic and move on to the second round against the Celtics?
Well, they need to come out and they got to make some threes. I mean, they're a good 3-point shooting team, but not in this series. They've been awful. I got to say, Orlando's had something to do with that. But in the home games, the Cavs have been strong in the first quarter, RJ, and I think all eyes will be on that. Garland gave them a great start. I think, you know, with Mitchell, I mean, I don't know how much fuel's left in the tank off of what happened last night for tomorrow. I mean, it's a quick turnaround. You think about the Cavs traveling last night, you know, they're resting some today, and then you're right back at it, you know, as we're talking now, you know, that's just 24 hours away. So I think the Cavs, though, they need a good start. They'll have the crowd behind them, really putting the pressure on the Magic as a young team. And I think the Cavs need, you know, a guy like Max Strus to hit a few threes.
Right.
I think that would loosen up. I'm hopeful that Jared Allen can give the Cavs some minutes. Evan Mobley rolled his ankle last night. He was struggling. So they need something out of the bigs inside against the Magic size. So, you know, you look at those things. And I think Donovan, you know, he'll suck it up and he'll be strong. But I think to ask him to do what he did last night again is unfair. But Garland was great at home. Your bench players tend to play better on their home floor. The Cavs bench has not been really good home or away in this series. They need something. They need another guy besides Garland and Mitchell. They need somebody to give them scoring. Strus would be a candidate. I'm not sure what's happened to Caris LeVert in this series.
He right.
has been a non-factor, but they need someone like that to give them some good minutes and some scoring tomorrow for the Cavaliers to win and move on.
Before we let you go here, Mr. Snyderman, I just want to throw a couple quick hitters your way, if that's okay with you, because you've been with the team since the 92-93 season. I know that you have a lot of great stories in which you can tell us, and I'm excited to listen to all of them. So really my first question here is, can you give me your all-time Cleveland Cavaliers starting five? Just in your opinion, Whoa. Like what you would have as your starting five all time.
Oh man, now you got me thinking. My goodness gracious, you know. Well, you know, it's like goes LeBron James. My goodness, he's like
right.
really LeBron almost played every position when you think about it. RJ,
right.
Over the years, he was a point guard, shooting guard, whatever they needed him to do. And we've had some great. I mean, Mark Price was terrific
Absolutely.
In his time. He'd be on my group there. I really got to look. I know he left really on terms that were not good, but Kyrie Irving, certainly,
yes.
I've got to have him in the mix. And then I start looking at, you know, the likes of Brad Doherty, Larry
yes.
Nance.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that's a pretty good group there.
That's
I
a
think,
great
right
starting
there.
Five.
Yeah, that's a pretty good group, you know. And we left out some good ones, I know. But that's a pretty good. Right now, you know, we have a young man on this team now that I hope is going to be here for a long time. But certainly he'd have to be in the conversation, and that's Donovan Mitchell.
You know, if anybody is looking for a knowledgeable, steady voice when it comes to talking Cleveland Cavalier basketball, Mr. Snyder, I mean, you can look no further in a person such as yourself. And during your time with the radio network broadcast team, has there been a favorite Cavs player for you to watch or that you've covered during your time with the team?
Oh, wow. You know, that's a great question. You know, LeBron, of course, was just so it almost became bigger than life. But, you know, I saw him when he was playing in high school. So it's really quite a story and still feel like, you know, I follow him even today. I mean, it's just a remarkable career. But a fellow that I really, really loved as a player and all that he'd gone through is Zydrunas Ilgauskas.
I
got to know Z very well. And he was an incredible story, RJ, when he didn't play for several years. You know, they basically did a reconstruction of his foot.
Wow.
When, you know, he was very young. You know, he grew up. He was 7'3", and he had, you know, was kind of grew up with foot problems. And they had to go in, and really, this doctor saved his career. Went in and they redesigned his foot basically for him to play. But he just worked so hard for almost 2 years. He worked on the side on his own to come back and play, and then really had a heck of a career. So I've got a special place in my heart for Big Z.
Continuing our quick hitters with Mike Snyder. He's the legendary member of the Cavs Radio Network broadcast team, where he serves as the in-studio pregame and post-game host. You know, I was born in 1995, Mr. Snyder. I wasn't able to see Mark Price play the game of basketball when he was at his peak. However, you hear a guy like Steve Kerr, and he says, I understand we talk about great teams and great players when it comes to the 90s, and he feels like a guy that gets dropped by the wayside is that of Mark Price. You were there to see Mark Price during the late 80s, early 90s, when he was with Cleveland. Educate me and educate the listeners here on just how good of a player Mark Price was during his time in the NBA.
Oh, he was terrific. You know, and you go back at it now, and that was not an era, RJ, where the three-point shot was really what it is today. You know, if the game was played with the idea of the three being such an important shot, who knows how many points Mark Price would score. He's probably the best free-throw shooter I ever was around.
Okay.
He was great. He could split the double team. He used to have a two-man game with Brad Doherty that was absolutely terrific, and you're so right. I'm glad to hear you you young folks hearing about Mark Price.
Yes, sir.
He doesn't get talked about enough, I think, as being just a great guard, and he was a great shooter. He was he could pass. Mark could do it all, and I really think it was an era, though, where, you know, there were games where maybe they'd attempt 15 threes. You know, I've talked
right.
with Mark in recent years. You know, now that's like put teams average in a quarter. So it is
yeah.
that of, you know, the way things have evolved. Mark Price, oh my goodness, would he have flourished in today's game? I mean, he really would have, because he was just a great shooter. In fact, still, I used to say, geez, why not just have him around, you know, just if you need a designated free throw shooter, because,
right,
you know, he was running at the line. And he still does some youth camps. He comes up here,
wow,
and stuff. Yeah, he's a great asset to the game of basketball and a terrific guy. But I'm glad to hear you mention Mark Price. He does not get mentioned as often as he should among some of the great players that have ever played in the NBA.
You know, for me, I try to call myself, quote-unquote, this basketball historian with the little knowledge that I have about the NBA. But Michael Jordan is responsible for so many great players and so many great teams during his time in the NBA, not winning NBA championships, and the Cleveland Cavaliers being one of them. I mean, you mentioned Larry Nance, Brad Doherty, Mark Price, Craig Elo was a great player for that team. I understand that everybody normally remembers him for the shot that was hit over him by Michael Jordan. But in an alternate universe, in your opinion, if Jordan wasn't Jordan, do you think the Cleveland Cavaliers at least win one NBA championship?
Absolutely. You know, and you know, and also in that time, RJ, you do your, and you've done your homework. Of course, they also had Hot Rod Williams, but they,
yes,
made a trade. You know, they had Ron Harper, who went,
yes,
on, I think, won, like, you know, rings with the Bulls and later with the Lakers. And then they made a trade. There were some things that went on, and they traded Ron, ended up acquiring Danny Ferry. That's still a trade that's, you know, talked about here decades later. But I believe, yes, they would have won. And Jordan was the guy that denied him. He really,
yeah,
was, and with those Bulls teams. And I think, really, with Harper was enough, I think, to bother Michael. He had that, you know, he was like that tough two guard, right, the right size. I really think that, I believe, had they kept Ron, they would have won one in there. I mean, Jordan was incredible. I mean, he would just, I don't have to tell anybody about him. But I do think, you're right, the Cavs were, they were special then. And that front line of Nance, Hot Rod, and Brad Doherty, and then you had Mark Price, and then Elo was a very good player. That was about as tough as you're going to find, really, at any time in the NBA. All three of those guys could score. They could block shots. I mean, it was a heck of a run. But there was a guy named Jordan that stood in their way in those years. Yep.
The legendary Mike Snyder, our guest. He is the longtime member of the Cavs Radio Network broadcast team, serving as the in-studio pregame and postgame host since the 1992-1993 season. Well, sir, I want you to take me back to 1997 and that legendary All-Star game in Cleveland, Ohio. I mean, it's such an iconic memory in NBA history, much in large part because of the halftime show of that All-Star game, where you get the 50 greatest players of all time named during that event. And you had a young Kobe Bryant on Saturday night win the NBA Slam Dunk Contest, but the culmination of that All-Star game, you had just an array of superstars both playing and also being mentioned on that anniversary team. Just what do you remember about that weekend in Cleveland, Ohio, when you have just the sports cards coming to life?
Well, you're taking me down memory lane for me now. I was a much younger man then, RJ, and I got to be around some of my heroes.
Yeah.
You know, that was just an incredible weekend. And, you know, even in the rookie game that year, the star of a guy the star of that rookie game that year was a guy by the name of Allen Iverson.
Yes.
And to see those players, though, they were gathered and have a chance. RJ, for me, getting a chance to talk to Wilt Chamberlain. I mean, that,
wow,
was, you know, Wilt, for me, growing up, I mean, that was incredible. But there I am in a room, and there's Wilt Chamberlain. I look over on the other side. There's Bill Russell. Oh, by the way, Larry Bird just walked in. It,
right,
was the most incredible time, and it was, you know, before the media what is now. We didn't have the internet and all of that then, and things were a little more. I mean, the way it was even structured, we were in a room. Those guys, they brought him in, and they said, like, the interview before the game, just like the day before the game or 2 days before. And we're like in a room there. They reach out like a table. You gathered around them. It was just phenomenal. There comes Magic Johnson. I mean, it just went on and on. It was one of the most incredible experiences I ever had. I know they recently had the 75, but,
right,
but for me, that 1997 All-Star game was just as incredible. And then to see them all on the floor together. But for me, it's a memory I'll never forget. And I still have my cassette tape somewhere. RJ, I still got talking to Wilt Chamberlain. I mean, this is history. You know, yeah. You're talking to Wilt Chamberlain, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
And it was because I stand up for Wilt a lot. I think sometimes he doesn't get enough say in terms of, you know, and my gosh, the Celtics were great with Russell and those teams.
Right.
But Wilt was just an incredible talent. I mean,
absolutely.
He really was.
I understand that we could spend hours on this topic that I am about to bring up. You speak on knowing of LeBron James's greatness dating as far back as high school. You also brought up that 07 playoff series against the Pistons where he had just a great performance. And to this day, it's still one of my favorite performances of all time by LeBron James, where he would just go insane against the Detroit Pistons and get a much-needed win on the road for the Cavs. However, what were your thoughts on that whole LeBron era, from him coming to Cleveland to him having to leave Cleveland and go to Miami, and then him ultimately coming back to the Cavs and winning an NBA title for the city? Just what were your thoughts on that whole saga of LeBron James?
Well, you know, for me, it was just a special time, and I've covered sports, all sports from the Browns to the Indians, now Guardians, and college and high school around here. It was an incredible time. LeBron, knowing he was down the road, I remember the year the Cavs were horrible, and we were all we talked about. I did post game shows, RJ, and most of the conversation was about LeBron James. That was when they were playing all the high school games, and you know, he's going to UCLA and all those national games and so forth. And we knew, you know, we knew how special he was. And that was a draft, you know. People said, well, there's Carmelo Anthony. And that said, no, it's LeBron.
Right.
And the night that the Cavs hit the lottery, is one of my unforgettable experiences. The Cavs had a party. Of course, it was on draft lottery night. And I was sitting next to another Cavs legend, the great Austin Carr.
Wow.
And we were doing like a show actually for the fans there. And we're watching that lottery when they flipped that card over that, you know, Memphis was going to get the second pick. I mean, I remember hugging Austin and him hugging me. People were in joy. I mean, it was like we won the championship. And
right.
Then, you know, as he arrived here, you could see things were going headed the right way. I mentioned that 07. That was a very special time when they knocked out the Pistons. Then the next game, that after he scored that, they went at home to clinch to win the Eastern title. That was one of my favorite nights. Our city was alive, and there were no problems. I mean, there was traffic everywhere. People were honking their horns. And that was not a real – he didn't have a lot of talent around him. You know, he had an aging Zdrunas and that group. And LeBron carried them there. But, of course, the Spurs were too much. And then when he came back, we knew the rumblings were there that he was going to return. It was so great to know that he would come back. And then it was a heck of a run, those 4 years.
Yes.
I mean, we were always in it. You never take into the finals for granted, but those were some great teams. I always point out that, you know, that first year that he was back, that's when Kevin Love got hurt, Kyrie Irving got hurt.
Yes.
And who knows what they would have done against the Warriors. And then, of course, they did win. The Cavs did win. Then Durant goes to Golden State. I do think a game, though, that sometimes gets forgotten was LeBron's game one in the 2017 when the Warriors did win that series. And that's when the Cavs forgot how many timeouts they had.
Ah, yes.
J.R. Smith went out. But behind the scenes, though, I think LeBron, because he was local, I mean, he was just a big story in Cleveland, in Northeast Ohio. And, I mean, it was prime time every night. And I loved it. We were, you know, it was a great era. And it's one that when I look back at my time and career, and to be close to it, you know, to be around it, you know, I didn't take any of that for granted. It was special.
The legendary Mike Snyder, our guest, he is the longtime member of the Cavs Radio Network broadcast team dating back to the 1992-1993 season. For you, sir, when the Cleveland Cavaliers come back from a 3-1 deficit against the Golden State Warriors on the road to win an NBA title and bring a championship back to the city of Cleveland, something that hadn't been done in a very long time, for you being a longtime resident of Cleveland and you being a Cavaliers fan, just what did it mean to you to finally be able to say that the city of Cleveland is a city of champions once again?
It was joy. You know, I was a little guy when the Cleveland Browns won a championship in 1964, RJ. That's before they called it the Super Bowl. And that, of course, we had the great Jim Brown back then, who was my hero when I was growing up. And, you know, those Browns teams were great back in the 60s. The Browns were the team back then.
Right.
And all those years from there to that point, you know, would we ever win again? You know, and the Browns had some great teams in the 80s. And baseball-wise, the Indians were great in the 90s and got so close, you know, in the World Series. And you really wondered, I said, am I ever going to see another championship?
Right.
Well, LeBron put it through. And that night was an incredible night. I was working back at our studio, and they had a watch party, and our arena was full. And I'll never forget, after they closed the door, I went out to look at people, and they were swinging, "We are the champions." And it was an incredible night. And we were on the air, I don't know, until 1 or 2 in the morning, whatever it was, who knows, and didn't care. And I remember, you know, walking out to, they had a watch party out on the inside, but even outside, there's like a mall area between Progressive Field and Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, and people were out watching it there, and people were just happy. And I remember I saw a number of police officers. There were still some people straggling around. They were smiling. Everybody was just happy. And then, you know, the joy for me, though, was like, it was kind of a relief, I thought. I said, my gosh, 64 to 2016, that's a long time with some close calls. So, yeah, it was joy, and it was a relief that we were able to see that again. And, you know, we're hoping to get another one in one of these sports again, but they don't come along too often. And that was something. That was something that they were able to come back and win that series against that Golden State team. It was special. And then we had that incredible parade that, you know, was just an amazing day. So, yeah, certainly a highlight. And I'll never forget that night. You know, I still gave my little score sheet from that night.
Wow.
I got it tucked away here somewhere. Maybe my grandkids will get a kick out of it down the road. When Grandpa charted the Cavs championship game, and that great shot there by Kyrie, the block by LeBron. You know, those are images that stay together. And, you know, that's what sports are, Jay. When you look at, you and I had a great conversation today. But then, you know, the history, and well, I could tell you're a historian of it. And that, and, you know, and that works, and that connects all of us, you know, as people.
Yeah.
So it's very cool. But it was, you know, I'm getting emotional thinking about all that. But I mean, to see 64 and then the championship of 2016, absolutely awesome.
Final one for you, Mr. Snyder, before we let you go. And again, sir, I've been thoroughly just honored to be brought behind the curtain, as I hope the listeners have been, with all these great stories. I remember when Ralph Lauer got honored by the LA Clippers for doing, I believe, over 1,000 broadcasts for the team. I grew up a Lakers fan, and Chick Hearn was the name when it came to Los Angeles and the Lakers and their broadcast team with he and Stu Lance. Well, in 2021, the Cleveland Cavaliers honor you as you went over the 2,500 broadcast mark, being a part of the radio network dating back to 92 and 93. For you, sir, to reach such an incredible milestone, what did that mean for the Cavaliers to honor you in such a fashion? What did that mean for you in your career?
Well, RJ, I've been very blessed. You know, I'm very grateful. I thank the good Lord for the opportunity. I've always wanted to, you know, I've been able to do what I wanted to do when I was a kid. I loved radio, and to be able to now to really make a career of it, I've been so blessed. And then, you know, I've worked with WTAM 1100, as you mentioned. I've been with them since 90 and actually full-time with the Cavs from the 92-93 season. And, you know, it's been a great relationship. The Cavs have been great to me, from the previous owner, Gordon Gunn, to Dan Gilbert, and the chance to work with our legendary play-by-play man, Joe Tate. Joe was just, you know, phenomenal. And, you know, since then we've had John Michael, Tim Alcorn doing a great job now.
Yeah.
I've worked with so many great people on the broadcast side of it. And then to get to know, you know, over the years, the coaches from along the way, from Lenny Wilkins to Mike Fratello and, you know, JB now. And then the players and personalities. And then so many people within the organization and even around the league, you know, just getting – and it's just been great, you know. I mean, I sometimes, you know, it's you know, the NBA season is a marathon.
Yeah.
It can wear you out. So even the old broadcasters, But I'm very grateful, and you know, to keep on going, and you know, I'm having fun with it, still having fun with it, you know, and here we are talking, and I'm talking with you on an eve of a game seven. You don't get many opportunities like that, and so with the present tense, man, it's a blast, and I've been very thankful for that.
That is Mike Snyder. He is the legendary voice of the Cleveland Cavaliers radio network dating back to the 1992-93 season. He serves as their in-studio pregame and postgame host. He's also the sports director at WTAM 1100, where he is also the co-host of the Wills and Snyder Show. You can hear mornings from 5 to 9 there in Cleveland. Mr. Snyder, thank you so much for allowing us to have a couple moments of your time. Hopefully we touch base soon down the line, and good luck to the Cleveland Cavaliers as they look to move on to the second round and face the Boston Celtics. Here's to a great Game 7.
RJ, it's been my pleasure. I look forward to our next conversation. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
It's All Hoops. Open Gym on 1010XL.
2, 3, 4.
Game 7, one of the greatest terms in all of sports. Thanks again to Mike Snyder for joining us on the program. We did that yesterday. As you could hear him say tomorrow, we had pre-recorded that yesterday. He was going to be busy doing the in-game and post-game for the Cavs today. But thank you so much for him coming on the show with us here on the YouTube chat. It's time we win a road game. Come on, Magic. That's what you're hoping for. Dante Marcatelli pointing out that the team that's won the offensive rebounding battle has won the series, or has won each game in the series. So those big guys, they played with a lot of heart when it came to the glass. Jonathan Isaac, Paolo Banchero, Wendell Carter Jr. You're going to need what you did in Game 6, that grinded out tough game. You can bring that to Game 7. I don't know how healthy Donovan Mitchell is going to be on that knee. Mike Snyder pointed that out. I don't know how that knee is going to hold up. Don't know if Jared Allen's playing yet. I haven't checked. But if you can play the way that you did in Game 6, but if you hit him in the mouth first, I think you're moving on to Boston. I would love for this team to continue to move on. In Boston, Blazers, Lakers, that Game 7 was amazing. Absolutely. I love that Game 7. Bryant to Shaq. Absolutely love that. Game 7, Orlando, Cleveland. I'm expecting a classic. You can hear it here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Jake Chapman will be on the call for that game. For Casey Dobson, I'm RJ Saunders.
That's me.
Tune in to the station to catch Game 7 of the first round Eastern Conference playoff matchup. The winner will face Boston, and we hope that's going to be the Orlando Magic. We'll continue to play the song and see you next week.